Hey yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear, and I am Martin, joined by the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, let's get right to it. We have a very special guest here today. Why don't you introduce him?
That's for sure. He's a multi-instrumentalist. He's a singer. He's really known for drumming and singing, but he's done some really fascinating music. He has a new album out called Becoming Human. He is Simon Collins. Simon, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, you two.
Well, you know, we're happy to have you on the show. I'm absolutely listening to Becoming Human. Such an interesting, diverse album, and I think it's one that kind of demands a lot of listens, because I'm finding that the more I listen to it, the more that I catch things that I think I didn't catch the first time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a very dynamic album, and you know, there's a lot of layers to it, and you know, it's exploring a lot of different styles of music. Specifically, I love electronic music, but I also love, you know, progressive rock, and you know, it's definitely kind of a cross-pollination of those two distinct styles of music. But lyrically as well, exploring different kind of states of consciousness, and it's a very personal album as well. And you know, so and I'm asking big questions and kind of putting big ideas out there as well. It's kind of on this existential level. So there's lots to dig into, lots to sink your teeth into. Absolutely.
Now, I guess as you work as a progress as a solo artist, I mean, this is your first solo album in quite a while now. I mean, you know, why the wait, I guess, to come back to solo, or why the decision to come back to solo after working for a band for a little while with Sound of Contact?
When I started Sound of Contact, I mean, when I started making music, I guess the main goal for me was always to kind of be in a band, really. And you know, making solo records was a way for me to kind of, you know, to make music and continue to grow as an artist, and along the journey I'd meet, you know, the people that I want to put a band together. So when Sound of Contact came along, I really put everything I had into that, and make that work for me. I guess after the band split up, I mean, I went through some tumultuous times. This record is really born out of some tumultuous times for me. I went through a divorce, and the Sound of Contact formed and split up twice. And I was also in and out of recovery. And I guess all those things combined really can force me to change and to grow. And it just seemed like the right time for me. I started writing songs, and it was, you know, coming from a very deep and personal place. And it seemed like those songs, the best home for those songs would be on a new solo album. So it was just an evolving situation, and I kind of got there organically, really.
So all of these songs then were created specifically for this album. None of these are from previous projects and holdovers in any way?
No, there are four songs on the album that I originally wrote for the second Sound of Contact album. When that didn't happen, you know, everybody in the band took their songs back and did, you know, whatever they wanted with them. Mm-hmm. So there are songs on the album that I originally wrote for the second Sound of Contact album, and they're still very cohesive. So yeah.
Okay. It's very layered, the album. I'm curious, you know, there's so many different sounds and different things mixed into the music. Do you hear it like that when you're creating it, or is it kind of more once you have a master down that you start to work on it and add these extra little things?
I think it really depends on the song. Some songs are like built up production wise from a, you know, like actually getting the song to a certain point or level with the actual song, like songwriting and arrangement. But certain, you know, some songs are born out of production. Like Dead Ends was really just a very kind of bare bones idea, And we built that up through like mental atmospheres and layers. And so it really depends on the song, but there's certainly an overall vision that you want to achieve. And that's really kind of like having an atmosphere of infinite depth of reach, really. So yeah, but it does depend on the song, I'd say.
How long did the actual creation of the album take? How long were you in the studio and working on it itself?
Well, the entire production, I'd say, was on and off for about 2 years, and I think that's including the actual like songwriting, because there was a lot of collaboration with Robbie Bronneman, who I produced co-produced the album with. We co-wrote a lot of the songs together as well, or he helped me finish the songs that I had originally brought in. So it wasn't 2 years consecutively, but yeah, it did take a while. Things were on and off.
Where's the studio that you recorded this one in?
I was living in the UK at the time, and I was moving around quite a bit, almost like pretty much moving once a year. So we actually recorded in a couple of different locations. I had this home studio. Robbie and I put a home studio together in a couple of different locations, and then we finished the album off in his home studio in Bristol. So we weren't watching the clock. Kind of thing, you know.
No, as you shouldn't be when you're doing art. As I've said
nice.
Before, is you know, a song is never really finished; it's just released.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you certainly you get it to a point where you'd like to think it's a finite kind of arrangement, and certainly you could keep going and adding and embellishing on certain things, but I'd like to think that we took the songs and the ideas to pretty high level, I don't listen to the album and go, oh, I would have changed that or done that differently. For the most part, I think we really fully realized all the ideas to their full potential.
Is it kind of difficult to you mentioned how personal it is. Is that cathartic? Is that a release, or is it difficult to open yourself up and put these things out there?
I think it's a bit of both, really. I do consider writing and creating music a therapeutic process, but there's certainly things on the album where I'm in a way more comfortable singing about certain things or aspects in my life than I am actually talking about them. You know, I find it's a vehicle for me to release, to kind of realize and self-realize certain things in my life. And so it is a cathartic process. Absolutely. I think, it's important that you inject, a personal element into your music. I think it's important.
My favorite track is the second longest track on the album. I Will Be Waiting. It's
okay.
Yeah. It's, great. I love the way it's long enough. It takes you through a full journey and as a track, and it builds brilliantly. If you could tell me a little bit about that one.
Actually, that's probably I wrote that song when I was 15 years old.
Oh, wow. You're kidding.
Yes. And I'm talking about the lyrics also. It's a very, very deep song. I mean, it's actually about like finding your spiritual family. So finding the people in your life that that you connect with on a spiritual level. So yeah, that was something we wanted to really, as you said, have a kind of sonic journey and kind of build the mental atmosphere. And it's one of the songs on the album that has more of a kind of progressive song structure. So when you're writing kind of more progressive. With more progressive songcraft, I think it's important to create that sonic journey for sure. So we had a lot of fun making that one.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many songs. Like I'm interested because Dead Ends, I think Dead Ends might be my favorite. Like it's one of those cases where, I mean, of course it's the last song on the album, but I keep finding that I'll be humming like Dead Ends, and that kind of thing just in my head.
That was the first song. That was the first song me and Robbie did actually. So it was very encouraging when we fully realized that song. We're like, wow, this is going to be a great album if we're considering how we came out of the gates, really. That song was really, as I said earlier, it was really born out of a really simple riff on the piano, and We fully developed it to have, you know, very kind of dark and all-encompassing atmosphere to it. And once again, it's more of a kind of progressive song on the album, one of the beasts of a song on the album. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of touching on more of a kind of dark elements of what we're living with on this planet, as far as I'm kind of, I like a good conspiracy theory, let's be honest. So I'm touching on quite a few of those kind of elements on the song lyrically, but I'm not going to go into it specifically. I think it's certainly open to interpretation, you know.
I'm not a personally a conspiracy theorist, but I will tell you, I don't think we've been to the moon yet. I don't believe that
Okay. Well, don't get me started.
I think though that is one of the great things about songs and music in that regard. And I think even like when you were talking about some things that you could express musically, but you would have trouble talking about, is that it is that being other people being open to interpreting it slightly differently. So I think that if you write music, then you're giving it's cathartic to you, and then somebody else can interpret it a little bit differently, but still in a very
Absolutely.
good way.
Absolutely. And I mean, the main kind of message, I guess, is I mean, in this just given the album title, really, it's I am singing about not just singing about who I am, but singing about who I'm striving to be. And so, yeah, it is about becoming, it is about evolving and maturing and growing. And there's an existential element to it as well, asking big questions and big ideas, and questioning existence and meaning to life. And you know, there's certainly a theme there as well. You know, like I've a lot of my albums, I've, you know, been inspired by outer space and the universe and what that means to me. But I wanted to kind of take a turn inside and explore inner space on this album, because it's just as vast and complex and beautiful and deep. So there's, you know, it's a very deep album as well, and a spiritual album.
Now, of course, I mean, you've been involved in music since you came out of the womb. Now, is there a moment where, like, with any of your albums, like, do you kind of send them out to your father, say, or like just other people, and like try to get, you know, their feedback, or is it kind of like, this is what I've done, here you go?
Yeah, I mean, I do send it out to close family and friends. Absolutely. Yeah, it's important to share that with them. Absolutely. But yeah, I guess that's the answer to the question, really.
It's your lineage, obviously, and experiences has influenced you a great deal. But I have the feeling, as I listen to your music and hear you talk, your soul, regardless of anything, if you are who you are, no matter what, you would have found music, even if, you know, you came from a family of construction workers, you would have found music. I think it's in your soul. Do you feel the same
Well,
way?
I do. I feel the same way. Absolutely. That said, you know, growing up on tour with Genesis and those amazing musicians, and you know, my father certainly, you know, has such a deep impact on my life. And you know, I knew what I wanted to do, is, you know, making music. By the time I was like 10 or 11, you know, I started drumming at a very early age when I was about 8. And that was by way of, you know, my father introducing me to the idea at all, man. Just, you know, my birthday, yeah, he bought me a drum kit and handed me the drumstick. So, I mean, it certainly had a massive influence on, you know, on my decision to start making music at all. But certainly, I'm drawing from a very deep place musically. So I guess you could argue both sides, really.
Both sides. I understand
Yeah, right.
you studied some jazz drumming, is that correct?
Well, I had a couple of drum teachers when I was younger, and yeah, I learned a bit of jazz, like syncopation. And for the most part, though, I just hated it. I not jazz, not jazz, but just hated drum lessons. I, for the most part, I learned how to play drums by playing to my favorite albums. And that, including Seconds Out, I was learning complicated time signatures at an early age, not actually really knowing they were complicated time signatures, and mostly learning by ear. So it's interesting. Yeah,
it's actually interesting. We have another drummer that we're interviewing later today, Carmen Apice.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And our Carmine, sorry, Apice. And I'm actually wondering here as I'm talking to you, I'm like, what's a good question to ask a drummer? Well, ask a drummer. He should know.
Okay. Let's see. Hopefully I do.
What do you think is a good question to ask?
I don't know. That's a good question.
come back to it. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know what to ask, really, off the top of my head.
We won't lack questions with the guy with his career. So yeah. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Now, one of the things I'm interested in, especially coming from the background of music that you do you think that that helped you explore different forms of music more? Whereas I think that some people, if they come in, it's like they have a one specific style of music that they like, and then they kind of build off of that. But I feel like you almost started with this whole wealth of musical knowledge.
I like most people, I'd say, grew up, my kind of introduction to music was by way of what my parents were listening to, and when I first started drumming, my dad gave me a bunch of his albums that I, to play to. So like Dire Straits, Prince, Genesis, obviously, was a big part of that. In time you develop your own musical taste. And in my teens, I was playing in a lot of punk bands and, death metal even. So, I was listening to a lot of, the post-punk stuff like Nirvana and Alice in Chains, in my teens. So yeah, I was exploring different styles of music. And in my 20s, I started DJing. So I was into psytrance and all sorts of electronica. And those, I've injected all those different flavors into my music. I think it's important to, and also to kind of cross-pollinate those genres keep kind of exploring new sonic territory. So, I definitely grew up around some pretty amazing music to kind of, get me going,
And this album is your first for Frontiers too. So what kind of brought you to Frontiers?
Well, it's kind of, in the middle of making the album, and a friend of mine, Michael Kaplan, who I've worked with in the past, who signed me to Razor and Tide to do Eucatastrophe, we stayed in touch, and I sent him, what we had done so far, and he was interested to hear it. And at the time, he was kind of a scout for Frontiers, and they were very excited about what they had heard with Dimensionaut from Sound of Contact. So when they had heard what I was doing, they were really, really excited to kind of bring me on board. But they let me make the album I wanted to make, so they're great. I mean, it's really, really grateful for the opportunity,
Well, how do you consider yourself then a better musician today than you were the last time you recorded an album?
I think it's important to continue to explore, explore in new kind of, as I said, like new sonic territory, to explore your influences, and to also push yourself outside of your comfort zone. It's just not, it shouldn't be easy making an album. It should be a challenge. It should be growing and expanding your experience. So I think that's probably a big part of it. And I think also if your music's reflecting who you are, and who you are is growing and evolving, and then that should also kind of reflect that.
You mentioned playing in punk and death metal, and it's hard to imagine, but would you ever consider yourself, okay, I'm going to go completely left field now. Now I've made this album. Let's go a completely different style and do, say, a punk album. Would you ever see yourself doing that?
No, I wouldn't say punk, but I like at this moment in time, I have Kelly Nordstrom over here. We've been working together for about 15 years now, and he's we toured all my solo albums, and he's performed on those albums and also co-written a couple of songs. But we're in the process of writing our debut album. We've formed a band.
Oh, nice.
He's been here 2 weeks, and we're already halfway. We've already written an album. And his influences. He also played on Becoming Human as well. His kind of flavors that he's injecting are pretty heavy, like, you know, metal some heavier kind of guitar rock. But we're also, you know, including drum and bass, industrial, so taking it to another level and tapping into those kind of those styles of music as well. So it's really exciting what we're doing right now.
That sounds awesome. I'm looking forward to hearing that. I guess it's, I'm hoping it won't take 2 years.
No, absolutely not. We've got a battle plan, and you know we're gonna tap into we're gonna work with Robbie again, and over the next 4 or 5 months make that record, and it's gonna be like dark existential prog rock. It's gonna be really really exciting. So
such a difference from your first solo album. I mean, to finally get here. I mean, you know, but I think, you know, these are more true to you than, well, I mean, your first solo album could very well be true to you at the time, but now it's
at the time. Yes, exactly. You know, it's like a snapshot in time. That's exactly where I was at. You know, it's all encompassing, you know, it's fully encompassed by trance and electronica at the time. And, but I'm happy I explored that. Next, you know. So.
Well, and the last thing that you really want to do is ever truly feel like you're pigeonholed in one thing.
Yeah, I don't like to label my music. I think it's important to continue to make, you know, like exciting and original and fresh, you know, music. So to continue to reimagine yourself.
You mm-hmm. know? Now, the one thing I'm interested in, I guess, as you're building out the songs, like, do you start with the drums? Do you start with, like what instruments do you play? And, like, how do you choose what you're going to play?
I write on piano mostly, on keys, and also on guitar. But it's interesting because, you know, different influences come out on, you know, depending on the instrument that you're writing on. So, but, you know, for the most part, it's all about, you know, I write mostly on keys, and I'll get the full arrangement together first, and then start to explore kind of how it should be approached with production, how to kind of best kind of fully realize the full potential of the song. So that's my go-to instrument to write on. That's what I'm most comfortable with, and I think kind of how I best express my songwriting on, you know.
I think it's really interesting because I know that some people, some musicians, of course, it's like they want to create the whole song and not really get a lot of outside people, and then they just bring in people to help them create that song. But in your case, I mean, it sounds like you like to have that other person to bounce ideas off of at some point and work with and kind of make it a little bit better.
Yeah, I think you know, collaboration is really an exciting thing to do. And I think, you know, as long as you're writing with someone that, you know, you have that connection with, and I think for the most part, you know, with Robbie or with Kelly, it's always going to make the song better, really. And, you know, we all have blind spots. So in most cases, we're going to end up with a much better, much stronger song, and you know whatever's been added, whatever they're contributing to the song is usually going to be something that I didn't think of doing myself. So it's all about just kind of, you know, doing what's best for the song, and sometimes the songs come together really, you know, like quite quickly, and there's no need to really explore it further. It's just a finite idea, and it works great, but for the most part, I do like to kind of give the song an opportunity to have some outside influence as well.
That's interesting because I know for me, I often think to myself how much better this podcast would be if I could just get rid of Brett. Boom.
Awesome. Brett. Boom. Nice work on that. So how long then did it take you to kind of like figure out that you had a connection? You know, because I mean, I'm still obviously working on it with Martin and seeing if there's a connection, but in your case, how long did it take you to kind of know that you had that connection with like Kelly and such?
Usually it's something that you identify pretty quick, I'd say, on a personal level, and then, you know, musically, obviously those relationships evolve and develop through time. But initially, I have a pretty good idea of whether I connect with someone kind of, you know, within the first kind of 10, 15 minutes, you know what I mean? So, with Kelly and I, we've been working together a long time. It's taken us this long to get to a point where like, wow, let's do a project together and fully a creative project that fully realizes our creative strengths, you know. So it's about finding someone that, you know, whatever weaknesses you have, that's where their strengths are, you know. Mm-hmm. So with Robbie and I, it's like Dead Ends was the first thing we worked on, and it turned out great. So I think that was pretty obvious from that point on that we would make a great record together.
You make me think of the movie Rocky, where his brother-in-law, Polly, says, "Why my sister?" And he goes, "I don't know. I got gaps. She's got gaps. Together we fill gaps."
Ah, there you go. Well quoted.
Well quoted. I didn't do it in my Stallone voice, though, if you want me to do that.
Don't ask. Hey,
you got gaps. Stallone voice.
Well, Simon, I know that we're running out of our time with you, so why don't you tell everybody where they can keep in touch with Simon Collins?
Oh, hey everybody, Simon Collins here. You can reach me on my Facebook page, which is Facebook at facebook.com/ Simon Collins page.
Awesome.
There you go.
Well, the album is Becoming Human. I mean, I think everybody should give it a listen because, I mean, it's so diverse. You're gonna hear something.
Available now, already out.
That's right. Something for everybody in there. So,
lovely.
So thank you so much for coming on the show. Yeah. We appreciated talking to you and wish you nothing but the best in the future.
Thanks. Thank you so much, you two. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Looking forward to talking to you again with the new album.
Sounds great.
Awesome.
Take care, guys.
All right, you too.
All right, thanks again.
All right, bye now.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. I go inside when I look for an answer. It's where I find. Inside to break through my
True.